Oh, let me tell you about a fan favorite around here. Omaha Steaks. Stuck in, stock up. That's what they say over at Omaha Steaks. They deliver the world's best steaks and a huge variety of family favorites without leaving your home. It's so important. Well, you can't leave the house. You don't want to leave the house. You want to be safe, and you want to stock up on some great protein, and that's Omaha Steaks. Olga cooks these things up on an almost nightly basis. That's really the best part of quarantine is Omaha Steaks. And right now, for a limited time, they have a stock-up sale just for my listeners. You go to omahasteaks.com, enter Adam into the search bar, and unlock unique savings just for my listeners. Guaranteed quality and safety with every order. Stock up, people. You do not want to run out of this great food. And they have a variety of packs, a variety of boxes ready to ship and available now. Enter Adam and save over 50% and free shipping for orders over $69. Omaha Steaks, right, Dawson?
Never been a better time to stock up on Omaha Steaks. Stock up sale is going on right now with ready to ship packages. Save 50% or more, plus free shipping on orders of $69 or more. That's omahasteaks.com. Type Adam in the search bar.
Drew, what do we talk about in this show?
Talk a little bit about, well, the difference between, say, what does a teacher on rent control, how are they different from a commercial real estate developer in their relationship with the government? That's what we get into. And yeah. And what else we get into? There's something else we got into this one.
Anthropomorphization.
Anthropomorphism and how we've gone from being disdainful of something like Pee-wee's Playhouse to Pixar where everything's anthropomorphized. Why?
And how we're doing that with older and older people in a broader and broader fashion. All right.
Yeah.
First, I'll tell you about Oracle, NetSuite by Oracle. There's enough uncertainty around to go around these days. NetSuite reduces it by giving you visibility and control. With so many critical decisions to make, you need the right numbers and you need them right now. NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. Financials, cash flow, payroll, inventory, it's all in one place. Clear visibility and total control of your business. And if you're going to be working from home, you're going to need NetSuite by Oracle. No more confusing, I should say, no more guessing or waiting. Make smarter decisions without any confusion. Do it with confidence as well. Join the over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite now. Right, Matt?
Receive your free guide, Managing Business Uncertainty, and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/ADS. Don't wait. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/ADS. netsuite.com/ADS.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The choice is going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Madam Kroll over here. That's Dr. Drew over there. Dr. Drew, board certified. What's going on there, Drewski?
So a couple things. I think we are, I'm still thinking about our history lesson from Wednesday. And I think you and I are kind of drifting around trying to deal with whatever really what we're struggling with is the aftermath of this quarantine and all we've been going through. I mean, I think that's why we're thinking about these things, don't you?
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot because if you live in California and if you live in Los Angeles and you work as a school teacher and you live in an apartment with rent control, then I don't think you think about this at all. Why would you? But
this,
what I'm saying,
this being what?
Well, this being sort of government, like, so yeah. I build things a lot and I have a couple of small businesses. So for me, it's a daily, it's an almost daily endeavor to have to deal with the government and deal with the business and deal with the regulation and deal with everything. Right. So
you go ahead.
I get that a lot of it is your perspective. It, you know, I have 13-year-old twins. They're going into the ninth grade. They don't deal with this. You know, there are homeless people. They don't deal with it. There are people that work for the post office. They don't deal with it. And then there are guys who are commercial real estate developers, and they have to fucking deal with it on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
And so if you talk to the person that's the school teacher that lives in Santa Monica, and then you talk to the guy who does commercial real estate in Los Angeles and who is a developer, they're going to have vastly different opinions on the government. Yes?
Yes. But my question has always been, does it have to be an either or? You know what I mean? Where only certain people have to deal with it. Can't everybody kind of, isn't the goal, wasn't the back to our history thing, wasn't the goal to not have to deal with the government? Wasn't that kind of what we were looking for in this country?
You know, not when you've slowly become dependent on them. And I've always just kind of likened it to my, who wants to add $3 onto a pack of cigarettes and take that money and give it to the school system or fill potholes with it? And the answer is, well, the 80% of people who don't smoke are for it.
Right.
That's kind of where we're at. Now, in the past, I think the founding fathers were sort of worried about that.
Yeah.
So, and there was also a dignity that prevented you from doing that, where you went, well, I don't smoke, but my neighbor does. And I don't know, why should they subsidize my road or my schools or whatever? There were some thoughts about it. It's kind of interesting. Smokers aren't smokers anymore. Smokers are bad people.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to vote against the bad person for the bill against the bad person versus a good person who smokes. Right.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, grafting on some sort of nefarious characteristic to a person who wants this or smokes or does that, then yeah. So what did LA County do with commercial real estate developers? They turn them into bad people.
Mm.
And now it's easy to regulate those bad people. We're essentially going to do bad things to bad people, you know? And then what happens? The bad people leave.
Right.
Fuck it. And then the people who build nothing and do nothing sit around from either it's Garcetti or it's the school teacher in the rent control apartment. And they go, where's all the affordable housing? It's like, well, you overregulated the bad guy and he left. Well, they should come back and do what's right. It's like, really? They should?
Yeah.
How's that going to work? You said they were bad and you overregulated them. So that's why we don't have any affordable housing. And then you are going to complain about the cost of housing in the city that you overregulated.
Right. That you caused. Where you caused the cost.
Yes. All right. So that's where we're at.
But that gets so frustrating because I don't understand. This is the part I'm having trouble with. I really want to understand other people's points of view. And so something yes. like what you're talking about. It's like, well, slow down. Anybody analyzing this would say you overregulated and that's the answer here. Why don't we take care of that? What's the thinking that prevents that from happening? I can't get it. Same thing I noticed in this the bailout for the small businesses. Some big businesses got bailed out in the crossfire, and those businesses happened to have thousands of jobs that we were trying to save, but people were outraged that the businesses got money. And I thought, I don't understand the thinking. I get that some small businesses got left out. They went back to the drawing board, created some more legislation. Good. But what's the thinking about disdaining the other companies that kept their employees employed? I understand that you don't like corporations, and I get that, but still, we're trying to save jobs here, and corporations create jobs. What are they supposed to do?
I don't know. I just kind of had this thought that when I was a kid, there was one or two Taco Bells. I remember Taco Bell probably started in the Southland, It probably started in, you know, 1967 or something. There was, I don't know, the first one is always in Gardena or something, but I remember one in Santa Monica that was by my cousin's apartment when I was a kid. And it was like, they had a little fire pit and this, that, and the other. And then that was Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Now there was two of them when I was a kid. And now my son's a kid and there's 1400 of them.
Right.
But I don't think they're inherently better or worse than they were when there was two versus 1400. They're just Taco Bell.
Right.
They have more employees. They have more whatever. Probably have to retain a few more lawyers. But let's see. Originally under a different name. Oh, so
what?
In 1964, that's funny, the year I was born, Taco Bell in Downey, I guess, is like the first one.
And that, yeah, so that was also when they started franchising as well, was in 64. And within 3 years, they had 100 open. The original name that Drew asked about was Bell's Drive-In and Taco Tia in San Bernardino.
Uh-huh. So there were a few, and now there's a lot. And now I'm guessing they're nationwide versus SoCal. Right. But either way, I don't look at them as that much different. And my son doesn't. He likes a Taco Bell taco. Okay.
But if they're publicly traded, does that make them inherently evil? Or
I don't know. My whole thing is, because you guys have expanded doesn't make me feel different about you.
Or that they've gone to capital markets to do that expansion. Why does it become qualitatively different in terms of its ethical value?
There are things that are kind of baked into the system, which is, if you would like to have a Ma and Pa hardware store on the corner versus Home Depot, there are things that are baked into the system that are a little bit different. Like, you're going to, when it comes to the permitting process of building the new Home Depot or whatever, you're going to have to, that might be able to be streamlined versus fast track versus blah, blah, blah. Like, these are things that are in the system. Now, I don't blame Home Depot for participating in the system.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't blame Home Depot, blame the system.
No, and I understand people have a certain discomfort with a large corporation pushing out mom and pop. I totally understand that. That's a completely different issue.
I'm not saying pushing them out. I'm just saying there's a slightly different set of rules for an entity that has 5,000 employees versus one that has 3.
Yeah.
Sorry. They also get sued 10 times as much. Or 5,000 times as much. You know, they for every thing they get, there's another negative thing that they have to deal with when they're dealing with something on that scale.
Yeah.
So I agree with you in principle, which is, it sounds very Billy Jack to talk about, what about the little guy? And I'm all about the little guy. And maybe the big guy can afford to absorb a little more for a little longer. So there's something there. But I'm not with you on assigning the good versus evil.
Well, that's the part I have trouble with. I really don't understand where that comes from, or what the automatic disdain is.
Well, another thing I was thinking about the other night, here's something I want to talk to you, Drew.
All right.
Anthropomorphize.
Okay.
Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Look that up, Gary, just so we get a dictionary.
It's making things
anthropomorphic, you mean?
Yeah. Fic. Oh yeah.
Ism,
it's
making
things human. What's that?
Human like, yes.
Yeah. It's what cartoonists do with trees. You know what I mean? Like, hello, Davey, and I'm talking through my knot hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. Anthropomorphism.
Promorphism.
Anthropomorphism.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Sorry, you're breaking up.
You're saying it right. Anthropomorphism.
All right, well, stop saying it then. Is the attribution of human traits, emotions, and intentions,
motivations,
intentions to emotions or intentions to non-human entities and as considered an innate tendency of a human, of human psychology. So I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
And there's a Disney version of it, of course.
Yep.
But we do that. See, we do that with our dogs. Look at him. He knows what he's doing. Look at him. He knows what he's thinking. He's thinking, yeah, I want me some of that people food about now. You know, he wants to this, or he likes this TV show. Or you do it with your pets. We do it. We do it with everything.
And then we like to go all the way with it. Then it's Lady and the Tramp.
Right. Now, who does this run deepest in? What segment of our
children?
Children. So when you and I talk about this stuff, and I always say all roads lead to narcissism, you always go all roads lead to children. That's what children, I say to you, that's what a narcissist would do. And Drew will go, no, that's what a child would do.
Which right? is a kind of a primary narcissism. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So
a primitive narcissism.
What's going on? Well, there's a reason why 9-year-olds love Cars, the movie, where all the cars are humans or anthropomorphized, mm-hmm. right? So they're mm-hmm. all that. But that's Cars. Those are cars. That's how it works. Okay? They love it. Now, as an adult, you look at it and you go, that's cool, but I'm going to see a Tarantino movie where humans are humans, right? I'm going to see that. Okay, so look at just about every Pixar movie, Cars, Planes, or Toy Story. Look at Toy Story. That's exactly what we're talking about, right? So now take that and apply it to businesses or politicians or what have you. What are we doing with them? We're giving a personality to Taco Bell. It doesn't have a personality.
Right.
We're ascribing one to them, and then we're making them evil.
Then they will say corporations are treated by the tax system as persons. Therefore, we're justified in giving them a full personhood.
Right.
Weird. Dig this. So Pee-wee's Playhouse is all about this too, right? Cherry and the window talks and all this stuff. And back in the when was Pee-wee's Playhouse really a thing? Like mid-80s, early 90s?
Probably early 90s, I guess.
Yeah, early 90s. There was a lot of literature, a lot of ink spilled back then that reinforcing such primitive narcissism was so unhealthy. And we shouldn't be exposing children to this kind of primitive narcissism. 86, huh?
86 to 90, you're right. Mid.
And because there was just to have windows and chairs talking and all this stuff was considered how irresponsible to encourage that. Now, think about where we are now with Pixar.
Were you reading articles on that?
Weird stuff stays with me through time. And I read a couple of articles because it struck me. I think I was wondering why I found it alluring and what he was tapping into. And I found an article. It was not in a medical journal. It was in like a lay publication, but it was a deep conversation about what was appealing. And it was very critical that we should allow children, that it was essentially saying children shouldn't be exposed to this. If adults want to watch it, whatever, you're being childlike. But children should not be exposed to it because it reinforces their primary narcissism.
So what I'm saying is, and you agree or disagree, I've been sitting around famously talking about Subaru. Subarus are made with love, and then they also make attack helicopters for the military. I'm like, what are we doing? And that's an anthropomorphizing of a company, right?
Yeah. Well, they found a way to do it on the DL, you know, a way to flip it around.
Right. So you can, Subarus can be made with love, and then Taco Bell can be evil, but that's our never ending quest. So all this stuff we're talking about is just childish behavior that's being carried into adulthood. That's 100%, what we're talking about.
Which is narcissism. That's narcissism. It's a stuckness. It's a developmental delay. And then you compensate for that delay by building a big structure on top of that, of needing to get a lot from the environment. You know, Gary and I did a Drew podcast with a guy named Phil Stutz that was saying that this whole experience with the COVID is going to change brands and corporations completely. And they're going to be more about safety and reliability. So it's going to be back to, you know, what are the inner workings of the engine that we want to see work properly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a progress.
Hey, Gary, pull up that Samantha Bee thing.
I've got it for you.
That
right
I here. Wanted to play, and I'll hit Manscaped. And we'll listen to that after this. Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. This episode's brought to you by Manscaped. And when's the last time you shaved your junk? You got rid of the funk down there, man. You got to clean it up because it holds in all the funky town. Manscaped, the only funky men's town. Brand. Funky town.
Play the music behind it.
The only funky men's town. Brand dedicated to the below the waist grooming and hygiene. They have the Perfect Package 3.0, new and improved lawnmower 3.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer, cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. And they got a deal for you for a limited time. You can be a subscriber, and subscribers get new replacement blades, refills, delivery every 3 months, and a couple of free gifts as well. Travel bag and Manscaped boxer briefs as well, right, Matt?
Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ADS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ADS. Your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you.
So I was looking at this episode of Samantha Bee from the other day, and they got into this coronavirus attacking people of color. And again, I always kind of say to everyone, listen to the verbiage. It always kind of bumps me and repulses me when I hear our Mayor Garcetti, and he'll be talking about the Hispanic community, and he'll always go, these people, they provide our food, they pick our vegetables, they clean our toilets. And I'm always like, they, so us and them.
Mm-hmm.
That, what do you mean they clean our toilets? How does they provide us with food? They pick our food. What are they, serfs? How do you look at them?
Listen, would you
clean our toilets?
You were a they cleaning carpets.
Yeah. They do this thing all the time, where, like, they'll go, oh, okay, so you want to beef up the borders. Fine. Well, then who's going to pick your lettuce? It's like, well, how about we pay people a fair wage to pick the lettuce?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to pay $6 for a head of lettuce? I don't know.
That's what it takes.
Pay $77,000 for a car. Or we could have slaves make the car and I could get it for $22,000. Is that what you're saying? Whatever it costs is what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
What isn't that the market we've decided? Isn't that the system we put in place?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Samantha Bee, whenever they do this thing where they go, how are these people supposed to take care of themselves or something? I always go, well, that's the ultimate racism, isn't it?
These people.
Yeah. I mean, and you'll listen to it. It's not her saying these people, but if you listen to the words, you realize these people are looking at this group as not equal to them.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So here, we'll play the clip.
Are not able to take care of themselves.
Hold on. Yeah. Go ahead. Yes. Or that. Or, well, that's implied. Yeah.
Black Americans are more likely to have pre-existing conditions due to factors beyond their control.
A lot of those pre-existing yep. conditions that make COVID-19 deadly, like heart disease, diabetes, asthma, they're already overrepresented in Black and Latino communities.
It's an epidemic jumping on top of a bunch of other epidemics.
Our bodies have borne the burden of chronic disinvestment, active neglect in our communities. All of those insults on our bodies have given us more of these so-called pre-existing conditions.
In fact, numerous studies show that Black patients have to navigate racial bias in the medical system. They're routinely undertreated for their pain and have to wait longer for medical care than white patients. Meanwhile, access to testing during this pandemic
has been complete. Let me stop. Can I stop that?
Yes. Yes.
The undertreatment for pain insults me because that remember, the opioid crisis was whitey. There was overtreatment in the white population. And I always admired the African-American population for not getting into that. Now we can argue that the way we dealt with this crisis was a racist approach as compared to, say, we had dealt with the cocaine epidemic, for sure. But to say they were undertreated for pain is a distortion of the reality where whitey was overtreated. The African-Americans were healthily treated, properly treated.
Well, Gary, just go to the opening line one more time and boost up the audio a little. That's really says it all. It's just the first 10 seconds.
Black Americans are more likely to have pre-existing conditions due to factors beyond their control.
A lot of those pre-existing...
Beyond their control. I think you can control a lot of these factors beyond their control. I feel like you can control what you eat. That's for sure.
Well, but think about it. You'd appreciate this. If you're a trauma survivor, though, now it's on, right?
Right.
And so they were about to start a huge program in California to address the trauma and the adverse childhood experiences. So until we deal with that, nothing is going to be changed, unfortunately. Because I don't think, well, you might be able to diminish the trauma to the next generation, but in terms of this generation, you've got to address the trauma.
Yeah, I agree. I am saying there's two very dangerous trends that I've been noticing, and I've been really drilling down on it, which is removing the control from the individual and saying that the individual has a target on their back. And something I spent some time on last week on my podcast, when I was had that moment that was very, you know, there are two moments I had with my daughter there that stick out in memory. And I don't have a lot of those, oh, my God, something's going on moments. Mm-hmm. But when I do feel a moment, it means something. Mm-hmm. And people are aware of both these moments, so I'll be quick. But the one moment was, she was about 9 or 10, and she was walking out to the garage, and we were arguing about something, and she was explaining, you have to apologize because I feel this way. And I said, I don't have to apologize because I didn't do anything wrong. The way you feel is wrong. And then at some point, Lynette and her sort of looked at me, and Lynette went, if she feels that way, then that's the way it is, then apologize. And it's like, and I remember stopping and thinking, oh, we jumped the shark. She feels this way, and she's enlisted an adult to talk about feelings and talk about how valid the feelings were. And thus this thing must have. So if I feel attacked, then you must have attacked me, even if you didn't attack me. And then I thought to myself, oh, this is the beginning of the end. Then we got to throw out everything that's ever been written before today, because nothing will work anymore.
Right.
You can attack me from 3,000 miles away, and we can go to court and you can be punished. So this is a problem. That was one moment. The other moment was a couple years later when I came home and she explained to me that she didn't make the volleyball team because the coach hated her.
Right.
Those were the other big moments. And
You got through that one though. You careened off that, didn't you?
I miraculously broke it down, talked to her in some way that was digestible to an upset 11 and a half or 12 year old. And used math to get to the truth, which I could then feed her. I had to use math, and I had to use a whole sort of system where how many girls tried out, you know, 22, and how many girls made the team? 10. Okay, so about half. Okay. And I had to do this whole visualization thing where I said, pretend you're sitting in the bleachers of the gym and you're watching these girls try out and you're one of them. And you don't see, you don't know who anybody is, including yourself. You're just watching them go through their paces. Where would you put yourself? And she literally put herself like one from the end. She's like nine. And I'm like, okay, well, now it's kind of a coin toss, right? I mean, anyone could flip out, swap out 9 and 10, right? So, and it worked. The point is it worked. But I did not want her to feel, I didn't want her to lose control. You know, yeah. Now she's in some other part of the house looking at Zoom, and the volleyball coach is giving her a bunch of workout exercises and techniques, and she's knee deep into it because she took control over it. And so when you do the suffers from whatever through no fault of their own or with the inability to control it or change it, you're going to fuck up that group badly. And I'm very aware of that. And I'm not sure why the people who think they're helping, usually rich white people, feel so casual about grafting this on to a group that could use real help. Yes?
Yes.
What was her? Oh, through no fault of their own. Was that her thing?
It's been a long, windy road we've taken today.
Yeah. Well, listen, people, as I've said many times, if you're going to bring shit up like, hey, we got a problem in this community or we got a problem in that community, if you're going to point shit out, toss in a few remedies. Give us a couple of ideas.
Right. That I think that's exactly our point, which is we're interested in, because we want the charisma out of the leaders and pragma in.
Right.
We're interested in solving.
Right. And you telling me that, you know, the mayor of Chicago is going to put together a task force to look at the problem. That's not you offering any solutions. I'd like to hear your ideas.
Yeah.
That's me point. All right. You can go to chassy.com, and you can get hold of all our cool movies over there, Blu-rays and whatnot. You can pre-order my book at Amazon. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. And Drew, what do you got?
Dr.com, go check out our daily stream. Also have a call-in show once a week on Sundays and then After Dark, and everything's there at Dr.com.
So until next time, I'm Kroll for Dr. Drew Stein. Mahalo.
Hello.
Shut your pie hole.
Welcome to Big Demi Energy. I'm your host, Demi Burnett, and I'm so excited to have you joining my podcast. Some things you can expect from this podcast are some juicy gossip, some good advice, some fun, exciting guests, and a lot of other surprises. Surprise! Make sure you subscribe to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Podcast One, wherever you listen to your podcast at.